Michelle.
Hi, Michelle, you there?
All right, you there?
Okay, good. You know, I can hear you. Uh-huh.
You hear me?
Yep, so I guess this is our last Sunday event here.
Yep, last 8 hour call.
Yep, last Sunday. So I guess the next one, everybody, well, this is our Creation Lightship Information Healing Program tonight, and it's Wednesday. The date is August 24th, 2016. So we're going to clear these numbers from people, since these are energies that can connect to you. I have here a long time ago on this date, in 79 A.D., that's when the energy hit from a volcano going off, and that was in the Mount Vesuvius exploded and showered Pompeii and killed lots of people. Oh, that you may be sensing that today if you were around, maybe. Maybe your soul family has that information recorded. Remember, that gets downloaded to them from the Galactic Federation, Akashic Records there, and all the alien stuff, so they keep tabs on everybody, and you might feel that energy today. So let's clear that through today's day anyway, because they do copy and paste things. Doesn't matter how far back in the past has been. They can affect you right now with that energy as they stick it on you. So here we go. Let's release this energy for today's date. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We'll do that one again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So it says it started at noon. Interesting. I'm seeing noon there, which has the two O's in it, so uh-oh. And then also, noon would be the time change from a.m. to p.m., at least in our, way it is right now. I don't know if they had a.m. and p.m. back there or not. They have had something similar, but if it started at noon, that'd be a new cycle of the day. Okay, let's clear out energies in your room right now as we activate the light beams to come in to bring peace energy, and normally things that are hanging out leave. So here we go. Bring up the light beams. So stronger, 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 and stronger. And that feels pretty good. Next, we're going to release from you an issue that you may be dealing with. And think of the issue right now. It could be physical pain in your body. It could be an emotional situation or something. We'll release that one program that you are running. Could be running a pain program. So here we go. Just focus on it now. Releasing that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Okay, so we'll bring Michelle on here. So are you out of wardrobe and makeup and everything, Michelle? Are you ready to go?
Oh, yes, I just got out, so that is fantastic. I'm so glad to be here. Happy Wednesday, everybody. I hope you're having a good day. We have our last 8-hour call for the month on this Sunday, and Ron has that up on his website in case you just wanted to catch that one last call, and then we'll start it all over again next month. Most people receive an email about that, and if you want to get on Ron's email list, Ron, how would somebody get on your email list if they are not getting any emails about your upcoming calls? How would they do that?
There's a link on the website, I believe on the right-hand side, if I'm not mistaken. And you just click on that and type in your email, and it will automatically transfer into the email account.
Oh, here it is. Email list. Sign up for our email newsletter. So, yeah, then Ron lets us know when all of his regular monthly calls are, the Ascension call, eight hour healing calls, and also any special calls that he has coming up.
Yeah, we normally just only send out maybe two emails total for that. Unless we get something that's special, then you may get three. But you don't have to worry about being inundated with a lot of emails from us. We don't do that. So may get two a month. So back to you.
Yeah, two would. Usually it's just one. So I think it's only two if you have a special call. So that's very, very rare to get that many. But yes, okay, so we have the call coming up, and we have a few things in the inbox. And somebody has already written, Bill Ron, about the volcano that you were just speaking about. Are there any energies to release of those people that were caught during that?
Boy, I don't know if there's any, if they're actually around, okay? Remember, they got captured by the darkness, so they're probably incarnated now. I don't see anything there, just something from the past. I don't know about the imprinting of the physical bodies that took physical form that, are stuck there in structures. Boy, they don't appear to. I think because it was so hot with the volcano that everything just got taken away. I don't see any residue there too much, but there is an energy on the town itself that is full of trauma. So what I could do is if you happen to be there yourself or went over there, in this lifetime, and you maybe felt something, I could release that energy from you. As far as releasing the energy from that particular location, at this moment I cannot do, but I can release it from you if you happen to be there. Maybe I have some listeners who have been in that area, and they've maybe been walking around and stuff and on a tour or something. So here we go. You have it there with you from what you've seen. Or heard, or maybe you look back on it and gives you the willies or something, we'll release that. So here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh boy, 5, 6, out of 7, 8, 9, and 10. And again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, that should make you feel a little better. Back to you, Michelle.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm sure there are people that visit and they can still feel that energy, so thank you for releasing that. How about for the people that feel that maybe they had an incarnation there and they still have a memory of it or are living a parallel life of it?
I can take away one of those scenes here. So if you maybe even seen a movie with that, possibly. I think they had it on a movie. Here we go. Let's release the energy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Okay. And that doesn't feel too bad to me right now. So back to you.
All right. Great. Yeah, I know. I've seen it on History Channel or whatever. I used to watch stuff like that and thinking, oh, wow, that did not look fun. So thank you for releasing that, Ron. Okay. Well, one of our listeners is wondering, they say they do have a birthday coming up, and they just know that they're going to get a whole bunch of family sending them wishes and all sorts of things, and they kind of don't want to deal with all those energies. So what would you suggest they do to deal with that? Timeline crashes, or what do you think?
Well, the timeline crashes normally don't normally work 100% of the time or the way you would like to or stuff in the future, okay? Because remember, you're not on that timeline yet. And when your birthday comes, then you're going to be on the timeline. I'm not stating that the aliens don't have you on it right now from the last birthday. They could have it there, but it's kind of hard to clear something that, you know, is in the future. So if you happen to be a person that's going into the future, then you're giving them permission to create your future for you. Okay, so you need to listen to that very carefully, because I have people who are seeing situations coming up in the future, and instead of being in the now to where maybe situations may not happen in the future, they are projecting themselves into the future, bringing that energy to them. Now it's being recreated, or being created maybe for the first time even. You want to be in the now where all your power is, not in the future worrying about something that could be coming or happening maybe, say, a week, 2 weeks away. So getting back to the process of having a birthday coming up, well, first of all, what you'd want to release yourself from would be your identity of who you are. And so your parents know you as maybe their son or daughter. So why don't you do a get on your natal chart, I mean your natal clearing, natal barcode clearing, and clear your name off so that you're not going to be recognized by your parents, because your name won't go anywhere if you clear it. Okay? And then maybe clear some pictures that they may have of you. Maybe they have a family album. Maybe even of your last birthday, and they look at it, or maybe you have it. So clear that out. Well, you want to some way look invisible. Then if you're invisible to them, then they can't connect to you because they're actually energetically courting you. So another way, you know, too, is, and maybe you may want to do this along with that, is, you know, you're courting energies. Get rid of the cords that, you know, your parents and brothers and sisters or whoever is courting you. So that way, you know, they could be even doing it now, but they'll be doing it for sure probably on your birthday or when they send you that gift and you get it in the mail, we'll say, and you look at it and you go, uh-oh, this is from my sister or whatever, and what energy is on that? So you may want to do an object clearing also on what is in that present. You don't know what they put in there. You know, there's all different ways to look at this here. But we could take the gift. Let's just say that they just happen to be unemployed. They haven't told anybody, especially your parents, we'll say, and yourself. And you know, they always send you a $50 gift. So they figure, well, to keep peace, I'll send another $50 gift to this person. It should be you. And otherwise, I'd have to say that I'm not working and I can't afford it. And then I have all this energy from my parents and everything else coming at me and, you know, you and everybody else as they're worrying about that person, doing psychic attacks on them by the worry. So they may go, well, I'll just send the gift to be just like normal and I won't have to deal with all that stuff happening to me. But in the process, when you get this gift for $50, now it's covered with hardship and maybe a resentment and anger because they have to send this, okay? And maybe it's, you know, it's being sent, and there's a lot of lack energy in it. So let's just say they sent you some chocolates. I'm sure that'd be a lot of money for chocolates, but we'll just say that they cost $50 and there's some rare chocolates, and they're very good. So now what's imprinted on that? Now you're eating, ingesting chocolates which have lack in it. Okay, so you don't want to do that, so that's why you want to do an object clearing on it. So that's what I would do, object clearing on a gift. I would get rid of the energetic cords attached to the gift and you from those people, and, you know, get in your little barcode energy and clear out your name and your relationship to these people. And maybe something else you could do, but that's the main one. Naturally, you know, when they're thinking of you, you're being attacked psychically, so that would be the curse of sex and spell clearing. Anyway, that's just what I would suggest. Lots there, but, you know, you're going to know as you start doing these clearings how much better you're feeling after you get this stuff off of you. and you want to keep doing that, especially on your birthday, to try to ward off the energy first so it doesn't come on your birthday and you get hit with a sledgehammer. So, back to you.
All right. It's suggested that we need to clear obligations. Is there anything that we could do for that?
I would clear the word obligations on the alien keyword intercept, neutralize that word.
All right, on the alien keyword. So that's the free one that you have. Yeah, obligations, it's such a heavy word. Oh, obligations, like you have to do something. I know some people feel that they always had to buy somebody a gift, even if the person could afford whatever they wanted themselves and definitely didn't need anything new, but somebody would say, oh, I have to get them something. And even though it was like they couldn't afford it, they would just feel this obligation. So, yes, great idea. Let's clear that word, obligation.
And there's two O's in obligation, so we got the O-O again, you know?
Right. Oh, and somebody else just wrote in, it goes along with the thinking, it's the thought that counts. So it even does put you back in that mind energy.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That is interesting. And also expectations. So that would be, yep, you're expected to fulfill an obligation. Oh, my goodness, a lot of words that we need to clear in the alien keyword.
And you may be having energies. Your parents are really rich or your siblings or something, you know, and they've always given you $500 on your birthday, you know, and you can really use $500 now. So now, you know, you're waiting for that card to come in the mail with the check. And so now you're going to be having anxieties yourself, wondering if you can get that $500 this year because you could really use it to put maybe tires on your car or something, you know? And so now you're courting them to get that money from them. And so you're setting yourself up. Yeah, they can go all different directions. Try to figure out what clearings would work that deals with yourself. Remember, that's internal. And then what's external? So you have internal and external. So figure out where you are with the internal. But that you can change. That's inside of you. And then the external is what everybody else or things are doing to you. And then what if, for instance, on your birthday last year, you got into a car wreck? Or something happened that wasn't good, and now you're remembering that. Okay, so now you have an anniversary date on your birthday, which would be, you know, pretty bad. So they had something happen on your birthday, but now you have an anniversary of that situation. So you definitely want to clear out, you know, the date of your birth, which is on the, you know, the natal barcode clearing. You want to get that off of you. Aliens are there right away to go, oh, this is a day that they're going to remember for sure because you're born on this day. And, oh, we caused that nice car wreck. You contracted or had your soul family contract to you so you could get into a car wreck. And, we really got you good. Back to you.
Yeah, they definitely know how to get you because you have been trained your whole life, if you've been watching movies, to expect something awesome to happen that day, and you expect to feel really great, and that's not in peace. And then if they do something to make you feel really bad, it can be even feel even worse than it would originally felt. So,
or they had somebody, a close friend or parents or somebody die on your birthday. They set that one up that way. So that now your day of typical happiness, I guess. I don't really relate much to my birthday at all. In fact, I don't really relate to it. But, you know, some people, you know, they can't wait to have their birthday. Then all of a sudden, you know, it should be typically a day that you're kind of happy on, and now somebody died on your birthday. oh, you don't enjoy that happiness, just feel that that loss in your life. So we have lots of clarions to help you out with that. So back to you.
Yes. So many choices. Okay. All right, Ron. Well, let's go on to the next question, and if you need to bring up anything about that again, it just might relate. So, okay, the next one is about somebody's asking about doing the alien release. They are doing it while playing it on their television. They have a blank screen, and they have activated a light beam photo, and they're wondering if it is being effective.
Yes, it will be, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Wonderful. Very useful. And I'm assuming they're meaning that they have it kind of on an endless loop. Is that a good idea?
Have it on a what?
Like an endless loop where it just continually plays?
Yeah, that's fine. And I have heard of people maybe going on, using their computer and bringing the light beam up onto their TV, with that HDMI cable or something. You could do that, I think. That could work. I don't know what's on YouTube, but, you might be able to bring up a light beam on YouTube. That also. I'm just not sure. Or have your computer do that, or you may have a fairly recent TV where they allow you to go onto the internet with with YouTube or whatever, and you might be able to do it that way too. Yeah, if you just have a light beam on your computer and you have it using audio somewhere, it would work. Back to you.
Okay. Yeah, I know I do it. I do the song in my car. I do the endless loop some nights on my computer. I haven't figured out how to do the HDMI cable and get it on a actual television, but it's just vocal, so I figure on my computer is fine, and I'm sure a lot of people do that. Okay, so we have another listener, Ron, who says they are very grateful for you discussing the seven generation healings. They have been very helpful for them, and that the 500-year clearings was very awesome. That worked very well for them, and I know it worked very well for me. I'm sure there's other people. They say they feel very blessed to have been present and awake for that situation, for listening to the show. And it was a surprise and generous gift from you, so thank you very much. And they say they are sending in a donation to you for all your help. So thank you. And that brings up a really good point. I know that we buy healings, but this is really, how Ron survives on this planet as well. And when you have money to give as a donation, then it helps him pay for the radio shows, the conferences, all the other things he needs to do so that Ron doesn't need to flip burgers for a living and he can help us. Yay! Okay, so so thank you, listener. That's really great. And it says, by the end of Sunday and into Monday, I realized I felt like a new person. I realized I still have seven generation healings to do, and they did the curses, hexes, seven generations 2 years ago, and they're still feeling the benefits of it. And Saturday's program reminded me to resume the seven generation healings and try new clearings. I am also enjoying the healings on Saturday's archives. And big thanks to you, Ron, because you said it would work for up to three times. And that goes for all of Ron's healings on the archives. So,
yep.
Do you remember doing that?
Yeah, I remember doing some of that that call. I remember seven generations as far as what was done. I have really no clue right now, but I do have, because we've been talking about it. So that's nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't really hang on to anything typically because I live in the moment. And so, like I say, things that happened like 5 minutes, ago, I really don't have any remembrance of that because I don't have an active memory to hold on to stuff. But I do, although I do hang on to a few things, but typically I'm in the moment and it doesn't. I don't need to remember anything that I really talk about too much because it's in the past. Back to you.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that's why we do the shows, record them, archive them, so people can go back. And I guess you're probably dealing with whatever is necessary in each separate moment, because it could include not just what we're seeing, but so many other things that we have no idea is happening. So that's good.
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on that I don't normally talk about. I may have a glimpse of something, but, there's a lot happening right now, so I can say that. It'd be interesting if anyone out there who knows that they are enlisted in the time-traveling soldiers, if you can recall anything in the last week happening, or, you know, it'd be nice to have a little comment from people. Oh, yeah, you know, we're out there with the ship, and we saw these things, and they were maybe the octopus energies or something, and we got rid of them. You know, that'd be neat, you know. So anyway, just seeing if anybody has any extra paranormal experiences, we'll call it. So back to you.
Okay. So, Ron, we have another listener. It says, heard about a tragedy in a friend's life and so glad to be able to run the deceased loved one healing to ensure the person's spirit goes to the creation light ship. Great to feel peaceful instead of being taken over by sadness and grief as I would have been in the past. So thank you very much. And I would like to discuss this because some other listeners have written that they were curious about a deceased loved one. And I think we need to go over the process again of what you would do if somebody you knew had just passed and exactly how all that works and what's happening.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's just go even if you're living. So, you know this person, we'll call the person Sally, and maybe they've been bedridden for 6 months, and now, you know, you find out that they probably have a week to go here. That's their maximum of a week, we'll say. So right away you go, oh, boy, I got to wait for that date to do a clearing on them. But you can do the clearing and take the spirit out, get it ready. It'll be ready to leave once the body dies, or it might even leave prior to that because the light beings will get the energy. This is making it really simple here. So the spirit can be taken out of here before the body dies. The body is going to probably die anyway. If you've seen people who are in that state, be a week before they pass over. A lot of times they get a lot of energy to be a couple weeks, we'll say, before they die, and then people think, wow, this person's doing really good. Why they get more energy, I don't know. But all of a sudden they look more conscious, and then all of a sudden they go back to the normal state of the dying process. So anyway, if a person's going to be leaving, you can do the clearing. And the spirit will be kind of like there until the body dies. It won't be taken out of the place, but it may not be there. You can go up to somebody like that, and they might be kind of dozed off. Maybe they're on medications. And if you shake the body, tap the body or something, move the body, the person will open their eyes. They'll look like really like nobody's home. And then all of a sudden, the spirit will come into the body, which you can watch. And the eyes will change, and they'll get brighter. So the spirit's not with the body. Otherwise, it'll just be darkness looking out of you. Lights on, nobody home, you know? Or actually, no lights on and nobody home. So if you are in that situation and you say, man, I don't know. I'm going to make sure that they don't get taken. And minutes after, you know, the body dies, and you can just do the clearing, you know, before that time. So what happens is, during that process, normally the spirit likes to stick around maybe for a couple of weeks, at the most a month, but we'll just say a couple of weeks just to see how its family members are doing. And it does that because it's being forced to do that. That's part of the programming of the darkness, to make sure that everybody's fine, and you don't need to go through that. You can just get it out, adios, amigos, instantly, and the spirit will not be around during the funeral. Remember, the spirit has the contamination of just like an emotional body would be, so if the person, you know, say dies of cancer, the spirit has cancer. So it's going to be hobbling around, visiting everybody that it maybe has known, because that's the protocol that the dark side has it do. And you can just take the spirit out of it, put it quarantine instantly, and get cleaned up. And it won't come back here again. So the spirit will not come back. The emotional body is another part of that clearing, but it's a different clearing. So you can clear. The reason why I have them separate is because naturally, if they got reincarnated again, the emotional body is still here. The emotional body doesn't incarnate. It just taunts people. So I have two different clearings. Each one is $50. So if you get the spirit out of here and you don't care about the emotional body, that's basically okay. But typically that emotional body could haunt people and body hop through relatives, wishing that it was still here and bring them memories of their life. And so all of a sudden, you know, you're talking to some family members and you're talking about, you know, Aunt Jane, and all of a sudden, you know, there's maybe 10 of you at a table kind of talking about different events of the life, you know. Maybe it's a month after, you know, the person's buried or cremated. And then all of a sudden, you know, one of the family members starts to cry. And, you know, well, wow, that's really sad. Well, it's not that person really crying because of what it is. That emotional body's in there, and that emotional body would like to be in a body that it had at that table talking also, but it's now in one of the relatives. So it's crying because it can't be here. And then it will download all of its stuff into that person. All of a sudden that person now has that load of all the emotions, and they may start talking maybe bad about somebody at the table, because the emotional body is upset with them. And, you know, that's why you want to get rid of the emotional body, so it doesn't haunt you. Remember, it's a ghost. You want to be filled full of that energy of that person. And you don't want to remember, typically, situations that would be negative. Maybe positive ones might be typically better for you to remember, but it's still going to bring you on the emotional roller coaster ride. But we'll just talk about the negative ones. So you don't want to go through that. You don't want to be put through the negative stuff of somebody's life and what you could have done or should have done, mistakes that you've done. This is what the emotional body is going to do. It's going to torment you because it needs your energy. So it's going to pick the worst situations and bring that forward so it can live off of you. That's why you want to do that clearing, the emotional one, you know, after the body dies. And that could be done any time. You know, maybe you're listening now and you go, man, yeah, I get visited by my uncle. He died 15 years ago, and I keep thinking of the time that he took me to Disneyland or something, you know, and, well, they're getting energy from you. So, you know, you want to get rid of that energy because it just could bring back sadness to you. And why get reprogrammed from the past over and over and over again? So back to you.
Okay, so those are, I believe, found if you just type in deceased or deceased loved one in the search on your webpage, you'll come up with deceased loved one emotional body release and deceased loved one spirit body release. So basically, the emotional body is going to be set back to the earth where it belongs, and the spirit is going to be put on the creation light ship for cleanup or quarantine so that it does not get reincarnated. Does that sum it up a little bit?
Yeah, you don't want the spirit to be reincarnated here ever again, including your own. That's why you do the obscure barcodes.
Yep. I just feel it's a very kind thing to do for someone so that they don't have to come back here. And if you know this information, you're one of the privileged people on the planet who can help out other people, basically. And it's a very kind thing to do to set their emotional body at rest and to put their spirit body in a place where they don't have to come back here and deal with it again. So I'm all for it. Thank you so much for putting those clearings up, Ron.
And if you do that, you know, if you do have a get-together or something, you're going to all be pretty happy and maybe talking about more positive things, because that thing's not going to be body-hopping, you know, stirring up stuff, you know, at the wake, you know. it might even put, you know, if you don't do it, we'll say, then maybe it's going to put you into the fear mode of dying, okay? You're going to go to it and be, you know, wondering, gee, what if I die, you know? And you know, they're gone, and, you know, maybe the person's the same age as you, or maybe they're actually 2 years older than you. So you may think, uh-oh, I only have 2 more years to live, and now you're depressed, okay? So, you know, by doing that clearing, all that stuff tends to leave. Back to you.
Yeah, because that person probably had a lot of those thoughts and emotions. They were scared of death, so if they're sticking around, then guess what? You're next. So,
yep.
Yeah. What would you suggest we do for somebody? Let's say they're not very close. We just kind of hear about them, but like I'm probably, you know, if I just hear, oh, so and so passed away, and you know, do you just kind of go, well, I'm sorry, that's unfortunate, but is there something that we could do if we didn't want to, you know, let's say we didn't know the person at all, we just heard their name or we heard of their situation, but we...
Well, I guess the most recent person in, I won't say the most recent, but Prince died. May have been somebody, you know, since then that was popular, but we'll just say, you know, everybody's probably heard of Prince. So, his spirit actually left here. So I think somebody actually did that. As I'm looking now, it left, like, the same day that he died. So somebody probably heard about it, paid for a clearing, and the spirit's out of here. The emotional body, since you're not connected to that energy or the family, there's no connection to you then. You know, so the emotional body, you know, could be hopping around, and that's fine, through family members. That's what it normally does. But it's not going to affect you, but the spirit is out of here. So, back to you.
All right, good. Yeah, all right. So, all right, and this goes back to a question that we just did a few minutes ago. How long do we run a word on the keyword intercept in order for it to be cleared?
That's up to you. The word itself, I would say if you're going to run a word, typically probably I'd run it for about an hour and see how your body's responding, see if you relate to that word. And it depends how many people are using that word to connect to you, how many energetic cordings are there to that word that comes into you. I'd say maybe an hour would be sufficient time. But, you know, that's one of those things that I have a hard time answering, because it depends how many times have you used that word, okay? Let's use the word love. So, have you used love a lot in your life, the word love? Well, typically that word's used a lot. And so an hour is not going to probably clear it out. You may have to go, you know, year by year or month by month or something. You know, how much... You know, hearing it is one thing, but talking about it is another. Each time you talk about it, that's imprinting into your cellular memory of your body. So, you know, that's up to you. I don't know. Oh, you know, if you don't use the word love at all, then you probably don't have much energy on it. Maybe, you know, a little bit of time would help. But if you use it a lot, then you're saying songs with the word love in it or something, or you did chants or something like that at a church or whatever, you know, then, you know, you're hooked up. So I guess some churches, you know, sing some song about God is love, you know. Well, right away, holy cow, you got all what you think love is going into that energy. And then you have well, the God stuff and then the love stuff hooked up to you. So that's to me, almost like a death trap. So you really cursed yourself good. So I would do that a lot of times. Back to you.
Oh, I think that's some new age thinking. And there's probably somebody who thinks maybe it was written in the Bible or they interpret it that way. So they justify that what you just said is the way it is. But, you know, I don't know. That's just some kind of a mind program, I guess. Okay. So, all right. Then there's the second part of that question. It says, should we run our names and important dates and numbers more than once in our natal barcode?
I would run it once and then see how you feel about it. Oh.
Okay.
Typically, one time is going to get it off of you, but if you feel something happening to you where it's connecting to you again, or maybe you have 100 people calling your name to you, then you want to probably do it more often. We'll say you answer the telephone and you go, you know, hi, this is Sammy Fudd. You know, and they go, okay, hi, Sammy Fudd. Well, right away, you do that 50 times a day, you're connecting yourself to your name or to that name. You want to get off of that. So that's the hard thing. Oh, and then what are you also connected to, you know? Maybe you're a checkout counter person and you're told to say, how are you today? You know, the typical clone phrases, you know. And you really don't care, but a person now is acting with you, sliming you, and courting you with these energies. Now you're courted with everybody who you waited on because you engaged with them. Back to you.
Hmm. Oh, goodness. Okay, so just to confirm, somebody wanted to write in and make sure we mentioned that if you're doing the emotional deceased loved one, you can do that anytime because that is their emotional body and it will stay here until you do it, basically. And the spirit retrieval, however, needs to be done fairly quickly after the person passes. Ron has mentioned different time frames, but within the first 3 days is a really good time frame to do it so that the dark side doesn't take their spirit and find another place to incarnate it.
Yep, that's correct.
Yep. So that is a very good clarification and one that we should definitely be aware of. So if you're like, oh, which one should I do first? Do the spirit one first and then do the emotional one when you can. Okay. And then another listener wrote in about the same subject matter. It says, I'm afraid of people doing rituals, prayer circles, or last rites if they get sick and they can't get to their clearings. Now, what would you suggest? To maybe notify one of us or something?
Yeah, well, we'll just say that for some strange reason, you know, Let's just change it slightly. You know, you have this intuition that, man, I'm only going to be here for 3 more months, okay? And you kind of sense that's true. Well, you could do it on yourself. Your emotional body will still be here, but once the physical body dies, it's out of here. You could do the clearing for yourself. And you could even do, you know, your deceased loved ones for you. That's really what the spirit barcode one is for, but, you know, it could work that way, too, for yourself. But normally you just use the spirit barcode so that, you know that you got yourself. But you could do that, for just to make sure that you're out of here.
Okay.
Because it would be kind of scary. We go, oh, man, I didn't do it for myself. And do I know anybody who can do that, you know? So that's, kind of your responsibility there. I think most people listening probably have done their spirit barcode because they know they don't want to get out of here. I mean, they want to get out of here. They don't want to reincarnate.
Yeah.
If they haven't done it, then they're not going to get out of here. Who knows what could happen? Maybe we could have another day happening or something, you know? And you go, oh, shoot, there's no power. The internet's off. I'm going to do that clearing, but I just didn't get around to it, okay?
Yep. I do specifically keep things very vague if I'm not feeling well to others. Oh, I'm just going home. And I have told people, I have been so specific as to say, please don't pray for me. And they're like, what? Of course I'm going to. And I say, no, please don't. And I'm in an area where they're all trained to think that that's, like, a really nice thing to do. And I'm like, no, it's okay. Please don't. And then I just don't tell people, you know, what's going on.
Yep. It's a hard thing to, you know, to bridge that gap because right away you're bucking their belief system that what they're doing is so good, you know.
Yeah. And I see them kind of go, oh, well, why wouldn't I? And I just go, well, I just tell them. I say, well, it's just another form of mind energy, and I'd rather just stay out of it. And, you know, I know what to do to take care of myself. So, but, yeah, it is, you know, everyone has their belief. But anyway. Okay, so we do have an update from one of the Secret Soldiers. It says that they are a kung fu martial artist, and they asked to use their skills in fighting. So we have some of that out there, which is awesome. And it says, I have been doing a lot of close combat, and I had someone show me a huge gun like the one we saw in the movie Hellboy, but five times as big and with lasers. Awesome.
Yeah, that's good. Great.
That's rad. I love it. So can you explain, I know you explained it like ages ago on one of the archives, but so each different secret soldier has their particular skill depending on when they were living, what type of weapon they used and how they used it. But they all essentially do the same thing, which is they use their skill or their weapon to send an alien to the light. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. So depending, we'll just say, if you're talking about somebody who lived, let's just say 1,500 years ago, they had different types of weapons. Maybe they had swords. So what they would have now would be a sword that would actually emit light out of it. Because their concept of, you know, going into battle to fight these things, all they know is how to use their sword. So you're not going to give them a technology that would be so much out of their mind conception. You know, they wouldn't understand what it would be, but the sword does put out light. So they could be doing their sword stuff, putting out light, terminating things instantly. So the people that are living now, remember, you're all brought into the future and trained how to use, could use the word alien technologies from the future because you are typically in alien crafts that have been materialized and, made functional at that time. So these crafts would be ones that were captured by the light, probably put in quarantine. ones that have been maybe taken that were stuck here at different ascension points. So it's hard to say when they were created. But you need something to travel in. You're not going to be traveling in some type of, you could be in a light ship traveling, but typically you could be more undercover, in a sense, alongside of the aliens in a typical ship that looks like one of their ships. But that's another possibility. So we'll just keep that possibility going. So you are now able to use that, your weapon, whatever that would be, and it will shoot out light. Now, the aliens always have a chance to come into the light, and you're working out of time. When you're working out of time with them, they can be notified in their time reference that they have they can surrender, we'll say, and go to the light without being killed, okay? And they need to leave. So that's their basic orders that they have. You're here causing harm, and you must leave. If they don't leave, then they're terminated, and you're out of time doing this work. You could show up to them in time, and sometimes they're very sneaky, and they can figure out a way to go out of time to harm you too. That does happen, I'd say, about 10% of the time. But normally, you're out of time working with them, dealing with those invasions. Remember, that they can be brought into, since the Earth is physical here, and you're just outside of our timeline up here that you can see them in, they're still physical as they come in through the atmosphere. And so you're physical there, too, at times to find them. So they can open up a vortex instantly, even inside of probably your ship, and, you know, cause problems if you don't get them in time. So there's a lot that can happen, and it depends how what technologies they're using and how far in the future they are coming in to work and to try to destroy you. So basically, that's sort of how it works. Did I answer that question okay? It's kind of hard to talk about, but you are up to using light frequencies to terminate these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that's what you spoke about previously, and it makes sense. You know, let's say you have a Spartan soldier and he's using, I don't know, bow and arrow or something, a rock,
or,
I don't know. But,
or something, yeah, uh-huh.
You know, but yeah, they're going to use whatever they can, and it's interesting. So all these soldiers, do they have an instinct about this, and their instinct is mainly to protect what they know, which is other humans, against this, like any type of alien race?
Well, it'd be basically an invasion. And so let's just say that you know, you're living in the, you know, 500 AD, and you're a Roman soldier or something, and all of a sudden word gets out that there's this strange-looking thing that landed, right? And it's killing people, right? And you know, it'd be an alien ship, we'll say, but you wouldn't know that. But they go, oh, go out and get it, you know? And so that's the mindset. So as far as bringing them up to current technologies and stuff and what's happening and, you know, talking about helicopters and airplanes, they wouldn't know what that would be. So all they were going to do back then was go out and try to ward off this energy. Although back then they probably knew more than we know. Because they have all of, you know, they lived back then, and they probably have seen ships coming down, and maybe they've seen them, you know, destroying people and abducting people, and maybe they go, I can't do anything about it. But they still go out there and try to do something. At least now they can. So, back to you.
Yeah, I believe that with so many references to this type of thing in ancient writings, that many ancient societies were very well aware of beings coming down and all sorts of strange-looking things, but not on a mass scale. It was just like, oh, well, these people showed up here in our in our land, and we'll have to deal with whatever this is. But now we know on a mass scale, oh, everyone kind of seems the same, but really there's this, you know, hidden information from, like, way long time ago that, no, ancient societies knew all sorts of beings came down, and it's written about in, you know, certain texts that survive, and a lot of them were actually burned. But I'm sure, you know, when you're talking about people that have been around for, you know, thousands of years in their spirit or on different parallel lives or whatever, wherever they are, the different dimensions, I'm not even sure. But, yeah, they probably are like, oh, yeah, that's not one of us. And they're probably going to hurt us, so we need to do something about it.
So, looks like it's about time for our show to begin and end here. So, we're going to end the show. And like we do at the beginning, we bring in the energies of the light beams. And so, we're going to do the mind to heart drop. You really shouldn't feel too much difference on this here as you're listening to the program. And you may find that it's more difficult for you to take notes or to remember what the show is about. If you do jot notes down, you know, as we're talking, you may look at them and read them after the program here and go, wow, this is actually discussed. That's kind of interesting. Maybe I'll go to the archive and re-listen to it. So we're going to bring in the energies now for the mind to heart drop. This you can do yourself whenever you choose to. But like I said, it's not going to be that much of a difference typically from what you are right now by listening to the program, because we put you into the present moment. But when you're not on the program, then when you want to use this, that's why we always try to do this. So here we go. Mind a heart drop. So you want to command your spirit out loud. So I now command my spirit to take the thoughts in my head, drop them into my heart. And we'll count from 10 to 1 backwards. If you've been doing this for a while, you can just go 3, 2, 1. It works perfectly fine, too. But for a newbie, you may want to feel the energy changing in your body. As, you know, the counting helps to do that, so you can actually sense and feel the energy if you're a feeling person. So here we go, dropping these thoughts down. 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. And 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. There we go. So you might take note of maybe on the next program, which will be on Friday. We'll be on station 2. Take notes on how the show starts off and maybe how you feel 10 minutes before the program and how you feel maybe 5 minutes after it started. And then you can see how the mind to heart drop works and kind of analyze it, because it shouldn't be that much of a difference right now for you. But now you have a tool to use when you're off this program. So thank you, everybody. Blessings, and we'll see you later. Thank you all. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, ladies.